But not to worry, as we've also been uncovering how to become less stressed this year. The key? Laughter, as Greya found out when she spoke to Sophie Scott.
You do, after you've been laughing, get a decrease in adrenaline levels and also decreases in cortisol levels, which does suggest that you are more relaxed. You're feeling less stressed after you've been laughing.
This is Sophie Scott from UCL, and she's done a lot of research into laughter.
Laughter is more like a different way of breathing than it is anything else. So what happens when you're laughing is the intercostal muscles, which is the muscles between your ribs, start to move in large contractions and they just squeeze air out of you. Now, normally you use those muscles to control what's called metabolic breathing. So you're doing that all the time. That keeps you alive. You use those same muscles to speak. So as soon as you start talking, you use the intercostal muscles to very finely control flow of air out through your larynx. If I keep talking without taking another breath, my intercostal muscles start to have to work really, really hard to squeeze the air out, and in the end, I'll run out of air altogether. Now, as soon as you start laughing, you lose the control of the intercostal muscles that lets you breathe and lets you talk. And in fact, because one of the main jobs that you're doing with your breathing when you're speaking is actually controlling how you pass air through your larynx, so how you're making a sound in your voice box, very often the first thing you can pick up when someone's talking and starting to laugh actually is this loss of control of the pitch of the voice. And very often the pitch of the voice starts to shoot up because you're starting to squeeze air out under much higher pressures than you would ever do when you were speaking normally. So this is an example of the Radio 4 broadcaster Charlotte Green, who's introducing a piece on the Today programme about a very early discovery of recorded sound. And then she goes on to talk about somebody quite famous who's died. And in the interim, when they're listening to the example of this very early recorded sound, someone who's in the studio with her makes a joke about what it sounds like. So you'll hear what happens to her voice when she comes back trying to talk about the death of a screenwriter.
American historians have discovered what they think is the earliest recording of the human voice, made on a device which scratched sound waves onto paper blackened by smoke. It was made in 1860, 17 years before Thomas Edison first demonstrated the gramophone, and featured an excerpt from a French song, Au clair de la lune. The award-winning screenwriter Abby Mann has died at the age of 80. He won an Academy Award in 1961 for Judgment at Nuremberg. Abby Mann also won several Emmys, including one in 1973 for a film which featured a police detective called Kim Kutcher. The character on whom a long-running TV series was eventually based.
It's 10 minutes past 8.
Oh, that's such a great clip.
It's kind of beautiful, isn't it? She's desperately trying to keep going. I think that's one of the things that's enjoyable about it. She's on live radio. She's got to keep talking. And her voice is just going everywhere.
So beyond just those contractions of those muscles, what sort of effect does that have on the rest of our body?
There's an evidence for a range of changes in terms of the sort of the biochemistry of the body. So you do, after you've been laughing, immediately get a change in the body's uptake in naturally circulating endorphins. So you get a measurable change in pain threshold after you've been laughing. That is actually, it looks like it's more to do with the work you're doing at your rib cage than it is anything specifically to do with laughing, because you get the same change in endorphin take up if you do any kind of exercise. You get a change in pain threshold. So that may not be laughter specific. You also get, over slightly longer time scales, a decrease in adrenaline levels and also decreases in cortisol levels, which does suggest that you are more relaxed. You're feeling less stressed after you've been laughing. And that might be more specific to laughter.
Does that mean we should all be laughing? You look like you're about to laugh yourself. Does that mean we should all be laughing more?
I think it's certainly, we should let ourselves laugh. I mean, we should definitely let ourselves go to places and situations where we laugh, because we tend to think it's a bit of a trivial, silly behaviour. And definitely, I mean, there's very, very little research into it scientifically compared to emotions like fear and disgust, because it does sort of feel a bit silly to do this. And we don't often let ourselves take our laughter seriously. But actually, I think we should, you know, consider it to be an important aspect of our lives that we should give a bit of space to.
Where do we laugh the most? I'm thinking if we want to give more space to our laughter, what should we be pursuing or going out to do that will invoke laughter?
It is quite interesting because if you ask humans, and Robert Provine's shown this, if you ask human beings, adults, where do you laugh? What do you laugh at? They'll talk about jokes and humour and comedy. But actually, we laugh most when we're with other people. So it's a behaviour that's primed just by other people being there. You're 30 times more likely to laugh if there's somebody else there than if you're on your own. And that means in practice that most of the laughter you encounter sort of naturally is actually when you're talking to other people, because that's what we do when we're with other people. And laughter is less to do in those situations with humour, hardly ever laughing at jokes, for example. And it's got more to do with making and maintaining social bonds. So when you laugh with people, you're laughing as much to show them that you like them.
If you're not laughing at jokes then, what are you laughing at?
Well, people are laughing at statements like, I will have another cup of coffee, or I might miss my bus. And in fact, Robert Provine's shown at any one point in time, the person who laughs most is the person who's speaking. And I think in that context, it is quite interesting because there's some interesting work looking at relationships and how people deal with stress in relationships that shows couples who deal with stressful situations by using what the scientists call positive affect, but they mean stuff like laughter, not only immediately become less stressed, they're also the couples who are happier in their relationship and they stay together for longer.
And these interactions, does it always have to be face-to-face? I'm thinking today people are more mobile, you know, they're living away from their family and friends, and often that means conversations take place over instant messages or texts. Do you evoke the same laughter, or is it a different thing altogether?
Well, there is some evidence that you get most laughter and people talk for longer and are happier after conversations that are face-to-face, so you can see and hear the person more than if you can only hear them, so you're on the phone. And that's even more, again, than if you can just, you've just got words, so you've just got text, emails, SMS, that kind of thing. So it does suggest that the more social information you have, the more you will laugh, the happier you're going to feel, the longer you're going to talk for. And you can see people trying to put laughter back in. You know, in a lot of text-based mediums, people try all sorts of ways of, you know, writing lol or using smiley faces or emoticons or anything that will kind of try and suggest, I'm giving you laughter, there's laughter going on. We try and put it back there, but it's never quite the same.
My favourite of those has always been ruffle, which is roll on floor laughing. But I don't think I've ever ruffled after a text.
And you see people trying to, you know, elaborate on that, like rufflecopter or, you know, just anything to try and kind of indicate the severity of this. But as you say, you're writing it, you're actually not necessarily doing it.
So do you think laughter is possibly the best medicine? Is the fable true?
I think laughter probably is a really good medicine, but I think what we shouldn't do is think of that as like laughter exists on its own. I think it's the fact that laughter primarily happens in social interactions, and it's really hard to pull apart from that. So you do find yourself laughing on your own, but you laugh much, much more when you're with other people, and you laugh even more if you like those people. So actually, it's like the laughter is an index of all this other social stuff that's going on, and it's very hard to pull apart what's actually contributing to the benefits of the laughter in that context, because actually the whole thing could be good for you.